This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
So that's going to be up there for the whole message. My prayer is that, for those that are listening maybe to a CD or online, I've put up the 9 fruits of the Spirit. And as I speak, I really am praying that God's going to put his finger on your heart, perhaps with one or more of these that maybe he would like you to be bearing more of. So whether, you know, you've had a rough week or whether, you know, you're going great, I really pray that you're going to really be spoken to by God. You know, whether you're frustrated at the moment with something or whether you sort of feel like you got things all together, I really believe that God wants to speak to us today. Cool. All right. So I'm going to just read, first of all, from Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. So if you want to turn there, you can. And Paul here is writing to the Colossians, and this is sort of in his introduction, and he's just talking about how he's been praying for them. And some things that Paul says that he would love to see grow in them and to be built in them, I really think are some things that would be good to talk about today. He says, "So we've not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord." I'm just going to rewind just a little bit. And as I read it, I want you to apply this to you. And I want you to think, wow, this is a place that I would love to be in. If this was either prayed over me or said of me, this would just be fantastic. "We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you'll grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He's enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light, for he's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." Wouldn't that be great? I mean, I know that, you know, we all fall short from time to time, but to live the way we live, always honoring and pleasing God, always. And that our lives will produce every kind of good fruit, and all the while growing as we learn to know God better and better, and strengthened with his power so that we'd have all the endurance and patience that we need. Does that sound good? Oh, I just think that's a prayer over us today. So here's the fruits of the Spirit. Paul's prayer here is that our lives would produce every kind of good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Well, why does God want us to bear fruits? Let's just ask a few questions here. Why does he want us to bear this type of fruit in our life? I think back to John 15, when Jesus is talking and he's saying that I'm the vine and you're the branches. Remain in me and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you're my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. A fruitful tree is one that speaks of maturity, doesn't it? It's mature enough to be able to produce fruit. We're his true disciples if we're bearing these fruits. You think about fruit. People can taste fruit, can't they? And we're bringing it down to quite a basic level here, but I know that you're getting the analogy as I'm speaking about it. People taste fruit, but not just tasting it, but it actually brings nourishment to them. You just think about it, it's not just about us, is it? These things here are not so that we can just have a fruit salad every day. It's so others can taste, others can be nourished, and that God ultimately can be glorified. Sometimes we think it's about being fruitful is achieving more, doing more, and just getting more stuff done. But is fruitfulness, you know, that might be part of it. But I think Paul here is not so much talking about an external thing, but this internal fruit, especially as he's talking to the Galatians here. True fruitfulness is achieved in submission to the will of God. Is it true fruitfulness or is it mere human achievement that we're after? We need to keep Christ right at the center of it. And why are these fruits called fruits of the Spirit? Why aren't they just called fruits? Well, because they're not things that naturally flow out of human nature, are they? Left to ourselves, without God's work in our life and his mercy and grace, we would not be displaying very regularly, if at all, these things. At least not to a place where God's glorified. So it's his work in us. They're not produced within us, but it's a work of the Spirit. Just like a branch of itself is not what's producing that fruit, but it's because it's connected in with that vine. However, I think that we're almost co-laborers with God. We could think, I'm a Christian. God's going to grow these fruits in my life. I can just sit back and let it happen. I can just take it easy, go about with what I want to do, just knowing that these fruits are going to be, you know, come about. Well, I think that, I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at that list and I think, well, yeah, I'm quite good at that one and maybe that one, but oh man, gee, no, what's going on with that? God, why aren't you growing more of that in my life? Oh, that one, oh my goodness. I'm not even going to talk about that one. Man, that's just, oh, that's, there's no fruit there at all in that area. Well, perhaps it is a work of the Spirit, but I believe that we have a responsibility with these fruits to help them grow. It's like we've been given a seed of each of these, okay? It's like we've each been given a seed, and, you know, we could limit it to 9, or we could, you know, just, I don't know, you could bring humility in there and all these other things. It's like you've got a seed, and we need to have them planted and watered for them to grow. But I reckon some of us still have maybe a couple seeds still in our hand that we haven't even done anything with. So we have these here, but, and it is a work of the Spirit, yet I believe there's things that we need to do. Throughout the Gospels, we see that there are some things that only God can do, yeah? God could not, the disciples could not raise Lazarus from the dead. That's not how that miracle happened. Only God could do that. However, there were things that the disciples were required to do. He said, you roll away the stone. Well, no, Jesus, you do that. No, I'm asking, you can do this bit, so you do that. Oh, okay. Lazarus, come forth. Out he comes, wow. Now you take off his grave clothes. No, Jesus, why don't you do it? No, I'm asking you to do what you can do, and I will do what I can do. You think about the man who was blind, and Jesus spat and made mud and put it in his eyes. What did Jesus say to him? Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, why? Can't I just see now? Well, sometimes God wants to work with us in bringing about of things for his glory. That blind man could have just sat there and stubbornly just said, I want just you to do this, but that's not how it worked out. You think about some natural sort of things. All right, so I'm going to say, you know, Nigel, you in 3 years' time, I've scheduled you in with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra to do a violin solo. All right? And Nigel knows that on this certain date, he's got to get up there and play with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. All right? Now, that's great, but it's not about to happen on its own, is it? He's going to have to put in some work to build up to do that. Do you know a good teacher, Nigel? You might need it. Because we know that someone that's working at that sort of level with an orchestra, they just seamlessly can just go and do it. You know, think about a soldier. Think about a soldier with the pressure of war and everything around them. Think about some trench warfare situations back in World War I or something. For them not to have any training or not to put in any effort or work or perseverance to build up the skills to be able to do what they need to do, when the moment came and crunch time happened, no way would they even survive. They wouldn't have the quick reflexes that they built up over time or anything like that. You think about an athlete. You might have been watching some Olympics lately. I often think when I see that men's 100-meter, you know, sprint, I just think, what if I was in there and then they said, go? I'd love to see the footage, because by the time I'd even made it like a fifth of the way, they're done. Think, oh man, they've put in so much effort and time. And Paul, we know, talks about our Christian life as running a race and talking about beating the body into submission and this whole concept of perseverance. And we know that that's a theme throughout Scripture. We know what our destination is. We know it's to bring the kingdom of God. We know it's to be formed, for us to be formed into His image, isn't it? And so we're to do things to bring about the fulfillment of that. We allow God to work in us, but we have a part to play. Because hard times come, and there might be times where it's going to be really hard for you to show love. Yeah? Or maybe really, really hard for you to know the peace of God. Because the times are so incredibly difficult. And I believe for the church, that's going to increase just at a church sort of level, where we're going to find ourselves in situations where we're going to need to be showing these. But it might be at your family level as well. It might be right now. It might be at work. Some things go on and a crisis happens. And it's like where is it? Maybe I could have been working on that before now, because just like that soldier who right at the split second needs to ready, aim, fire, and he's ready for it, you know, maybe we need to be disciplining ourselves in these fruits. So think about times when you haven't been prepared for something. And what does it feel like? I remember my year 11 biology exam in first semester. Ooh. Oh man, I was not ready for that at all. And I'm just sitting there. Oh, and I'm like 20 minutes into this hour and a half exam, and I'd done all I could do, and I wasn't ready. And I actually quit that subject, moved into something else, and never really looked at it again. How tragic. I don't know if there's been a time where you felt where you could have been prepared and disciplined yourself, but it just didn't happen. I often think that, you know, when you first bring a newborn baby home, you can really read all the books you want and get all the advice you want, but to feel totally prepared for that is difficult, isn't it? You bring it home and you put it in the cradle and you're like, are we allowed to be alone with this thing? Like, what do we do? What? We've read all the books and everything and everyone's given us this advice, but I don't know if we really feel prepared for this. I think that's an area that I think everyone feels like that. Yet I would like in my life, and I think God would love it, and it would be His goal, for these fruits to be in us and that they're second nature to us. He says, you know, live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Okay, there's a walking in it and a living in it. It's not just, Oh, when we need to, let's just summon up some peace. But we're to live and walk in that continually. And gentleness and kindness. And these things for us guys sound a little bit like mamby-pamby sort of traits. But man, there is strength and power in gentleness and kindness. Paul, in a couple chapters later in Colossians, says, clothe yourself in love. He also says to put on or clothe yourself in kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And we think about clothing yourself. You know, here you all are today, clothed. Thank goodness. But you really, besides having to choose what you're going to wear, you didn't really think too much about left leg, up, and in which hole do I put it in? The left one. Oh, wait, the pants are the other way. That's better. Okay, yeah. What do I do now? Yeah, a shirt. Oh, buttons. Oh, you don't have to think about that, do you? You just do it. It's like when you drove here today, you just did it. It's second nature to you. Clothe yourself in love. It should be this thing that's second nature. Don't even have to think about it. Oh, now this is a bit of a difficult situation. I think I need to show someone love here. How do I do? What do I do here? I can't remember. It shouldn't be like that. It should be a second nature thing. You think about toddlers and how so much isn't second nature to them. You get the spoon and... You missed. Thanks, June. I did. That's right. But slowly, as maturity comes, things become second nature. I think some fruits do seem to come more naturally to others, though. I don't know. I don't know if you look up there and just think about some people and just maybe it's their temperament or personality that sort of lean more towards it and they've got to work a little bit harder at others. Maybe in your situation at work or something, unless you've been forced to work on those things, maybe you couldn't even do your job. I'm thinking if you were working in, I'm thinking about Mark with his, care with disabled people. If he, he has to be patient, And I look at someone like, I know Shauna, if you're listening to this, you think about joy. But I was listening to Shauna last week when she gave communion and she said, oh, I'm someone that I always want to be positive. I always want to, do you hear that? That's something that she is disciplining herself in the midst of a storm and, rain washing into her studio. She has disciplined herself to a point where if that happens, she can get up, later on and talk about it with such joy because that's become second nature to her. It's good, isn't it? I just think about other people. I know all these people aren't here today I want to talk about. Sorry, all you people I'm talking about. Brian, gentleness. Oh, but what's he had to do to build that up? You know what I mean? That might not have naturally been there, but there's maybe been things in his life and he's made choices. And what a gentle man. Sometimes it's, and maybe already, if I was to say to you, and I will at the end, I want you to pick, here's a bit of a teaser for the end, I want you to pick one that you know God would like you to be working on, okay? Just pick one. And it might be one you're looking at and think, that's going to have to be a work of the Spirit to get that happening. Hopefully God's just putting his finger on that. Because sometimes it is against our normal nature. A couple of years ago, my brother Tim and I we were just sitting down having a chat one day, and we said, wouldn't it be cool if we went away from this conversation and each learned a skill that we don't currently know, and we just something that we could practice 5 minutes every day. And then in a couple months later, we don't talk about it till a couple months later. And then when we get together, we'll go like, are you ready? Are you ready? And then we'll show a skill that we've learned that we didn't have before. And we thought, oh yeah, that'd be cool. Would you want to do it? Yeah? Shake. And we agreed for a certain date, 5 months in the future, and we weren't to talk about it until 5 months later. And in all likelihood, one of us could have come going, yeah, I'm ready. And the other one's like, oh, I forgot, sorry. But that didn't happen. So 5 months went on and we showed each other these random skills, skills we don't have and actually have to work on. And it was a really interesting exercise to, first of all, think of a skill. But second, it was something that you sort of had to sort of learn from scratch and put effort and perseverance in just a bit every day to build up a skill. Do you want to know what my skill was? Okay. So I wanted my skill to be that I wanted to be able to learn to write in cursive handwriting as neat, if not neater, with my left hand as I could with my right. So 5 minutes every day, and this is to prove it. It's my little handwriting exercises I did every single day, 5 minutes. And slowly over time, it gets to a point where my handwriting with my left hand was really neat. It wasn't super fast. That would take a few more. You'd think, what a moron. Why did he do that for? What a waste of... It's only 5 minutes every day. And it was just to show... I better get someone to say that it looks sort of neat. What do you think? Is that neatish? Oh, dear. Thank goodness. I picked her deliberately for that. Now, that was random and absolutely useless. And, in fact, that's not something I've kept up, and I can't do that anymore unless I broke my arm. And then, hopefully, this 5 months of 5 minutes every day is going to get me somewhere. So I just thought it was a good example of putting effort in and something becoming just second nature. I became very, very comfortable. And if ever I did break my arm in that five-month period, I would have been fine because it was second nature. Here's another example, and I'm going to need some help with this. Someone else isn't here. I was going to ask Bev to come and do this, and I'll tell you why in a second. All right, so here are some juggling balls. And I was going to ask Bev for a reason. In fact, it was payback. If you're listening to this, Bev, you might remember Bev years ago when you were talking about the body of Christ and everyone doing their part. And you were talking about like a car and all the parts of a car. And then you were talking about a band and everyone plays their part in a musical band. And if you don't, you've got to make sure you know what your part is. And then, Bev, you then called up different musicians and went and sat them at different instruments that they weren't comfortable in and really put them on the spot, Bev. And so I think Don Eckhart was on the piano and someone else was on the guitar and she put me on the drums and I'm like, Bev, you've put me on the drums. And I don't play the drums. Oh, man. So I just felt on the spot. And it wasn't, you know, but I guess that, time goes on. I'm not a Ben Donnelly standard drummer, but I can keep it. I've had to work on it and now I can do that. So I was going to get Bev to come up and juggle these. And then my challenge to her was, once they fell all over the place, now, Bev, you can work on it, and so it becomes second nature. All right. So when I was in grade five, I learned how to juggle. So in grade four, it probably would have been like this, or maybe like this, because lots of people can juggle like that. Yeah. But slowly over time, that's your way, is it, Mum? Come on. Yes. Come on. Yeah. Oh, I was just waiting for someone, and it was you. You can thank Bev for this. No.
Bev?
Do you want three?
I do it.
Yeah, okay. No, you will. Then to do it again, let's have a look. Yay. Okay, go. So, you've got to throw that one first, because if you throw that, then you're left with two. So, if you throw one, you're always left with one to throw. Just imagine my hands are invisible. That looks all right, doesn't it? Look at that. All right, so here we go.
Okay.
Yep. Hey, one more time, one more try. Okay.
Bev.
So for Mum, it's not second nature, is it? And she, probably with some hard effort and probably a work of the Spirit, would get to a place where it's second nature, okay? So just to let you know, a silly thing like this, what's the point of juggling? And I'm not doing it to, ooh, look, I can juggle. But it's more that, you know what I'm doing. Okay. So when I was in grade five, we had a teacher teach some people how to juggle, and they said to us, if you can come back after the weekend and do 30 catches, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you'll get a three free juggling balls. It's like, yes. And so I practiced all weekend. Oh, stuff going everywhere. And on Monday, I thought, yes, I'm going to get there first, and I'm going to show Mr. Decoit, and he's going to be so proud of me. And I get to school, and everyone has juggling balls, and everyone's been practicing. Ah, I've got to get to Mr. Decoit. Mr. Decoit, has anyone got this juggling balls yet? No? Yes. Whew. And so I've been practicing, and I got something like 30 or something. And from then, I just thought, oh, let's keep going. And what else can we know? So things have become second nature with juggling to the point where I can talk, I can look at you. This is called peripheral juggling. I could read a book. I could go jogging. Not reading and jogging. And so without even thinking about it, you know, if times are easy or tough, this is just something that I can do. And let's leave it there. Whew. Ah, thank you. We better clap Mum as well. Oh, dear. Yeah, well. Yeah, thanks, Mum. Here's some examples. I'm just going to choose the first three fruits here. Going to choose the first three fruits and just go through some scriptures just to show that this is something that God's put in our court. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Doesn't boast. It's not proud. It sounds like some things that we're going to have, that's on us to do. Doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. You can't just say, yeah, God's going to do all those things through me. No, you have to not keep a record of wrongs. You have to not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. Always protects, always trusts, hopes and perseveres. Let's look at joy. 2 Corinthians 8:2. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They're being tested by many troubles and they're very poor. But they're also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. So although the Macedonians were very poor and had all these troubles and stuff coming their way, they chose to have abundant joy. And not only just so they could be happy about all that, but it actually then outflowed, and Paul was a recipient of their generosity, and it was through the troubles they were going that they were happening. James 1, 2 and 3, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Let's look at peace. 1 Peter 3:11, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Another translation says, seek peace and pursue it. It's something that we have to do. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It doesn't just say that it will, you have to let it. It's an interesting study to look in the New Testament at every time the word let is mentioned, especially in the epistles. Interesting, because it's always stuff that's for us to do. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So, I don't want you to look at all this and just think, oh, so overwhelmed, do everything at once. If you're wanting to improve as a runner, you're not just going to think, I'm just going to be the perfect runner straight away. You might think, well, let's work on something. Maybe you have to work on the amount of lean we've got in the run, or maybe our cadence and how quick, you know, our feet are hitting the ground, or the position. Maybe we'll just focus on the position of our feet. Or maybe we'll, you know, just look at our posture and what I'm doing with my shoulders and arms. To be doing everything at once is too hard, and that's why I've asked for God to reveal in you something up here for you to work on. So I want you to, I'm just going to give you, you know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds of just some silence, and I want you to to look up there and just, is there something, is there a situation in your life, is there something happening where you would really like to see, to be bearing more of a certain fruit? And maybe it's not related to a situation in your life. Maybe it's just something that you think, man, if something does come up, I know that I'm going to might need some of this for you to, and my challenge for you is that through today, through this week, is to look for places to be disciplined in you with the Spirit, bringing about the growth of this fruit in your life. God, we just thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us, God. Lord, I do pray that Lord, you are at work in each one of us. And you are working in us through your Holy Spirit to bring us to maturity, to bring us to a place of usefulness and fruitfulness. And thank you, Lord, for the fruit that we do bear already to glorify your name. But Lord, you want for us to bear much fruit. And so we just pray, Lord God, today that as you've spoken to us, Lord, Lord, that as you put your finger on areas of our life, that we will be submissive to you. And God, that you will help us to allow you to work in us, God, by your Holy Spirit, for us to be able to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit, and for the fruits of the Spirit to become second nature to us. So when times get rough and persecution comes or whatever comes our way, Lord, that these things will just be second nature, and that I reckon that will be a great testimony to the lost, that in the times of hardship and trouble, just like those Macedonians, that's when we're choosing to walk and live in the Spirit. And we just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.